welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck here with Barnabas Piper. And without for another week, Ronald J. Martin. So it's a little roomier here in the studio, Barnabas. You know, we can stretch out a bit, you know.
It is. Is Ronnie still enjoying the Coffee Beach view? I feel like I saw something from him at a Sandra McCracken concert maybe recently.
I don't know who that is. Who is Sandra McCracken?
She's a musician. She actually is a really you'd probably like her music. She does a lot of old hymns, but in sort of like a folksy acoustic way. Got a really unique voice. But I feel like I saw him post something from a show that she was doing. I may have to Facebook stalk him and find out.
So he's gotten off the beach. We're to understand he's gotten off the beach and away from the coffee mug enough to at least go to a venue to hear some music.
Yeah, life's rough. Okay. Maybe he just retweeted somebody from that, but we'll just say he's there. He's there anyway. That's way more interesting than whatever he's actually doing.
The whole thing is fascinating. You know what he's doing on his vacation. I mean, I can't think of
it. You know what? Hey, people are keen on the lives of celebrities. They want to know all of the mundane details. You know,
who were they having lunch with?
Yes.
You know, here's a picture of Ronnie buying a Starbucks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's and what was he wearing? Like, why does he have the sunglasses on? Is that a baby bump? Like, what's going
on? Why does he have a jacket on when it's 112 degrees outside?
I mean, he's as it covering up track marks on his arms? Is it? Exactly. I mean, is it a fashion statement? What is this?
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Weight loss technique, perhaps.
Well, dude. Speaking of celebrities, and dude, I know you got a sponsorship. Do you want to do the sponsor now, or you want to do it at the end?
We can just knock it out now.
Let's knock it out now because I got a huge celebrity thing to talk about.
Oh, all right. Well, yes. Let's knock.
I'm so excited about it. I can't hold my tongue, but I want to get your sponsor thing in first.
All right. Well, yeah. We certainly don't want to bury the lead with the celebrity thing, but let's get this out of the way first. So, my own personal full-time job is going to sponsor this episode. So that would be Lifeway Leadership. That's the team I work on at Lifeway. And the thing that I wanted to mention to listeners is that this fall, October 13th and 14th, we're hosting a conference here in Nashville called the Pipeline Conference, and it's specifically designed to help church leaders learn how to build leadership development structures into their church. So training volunteers, training kind of at every level. So greeters, nursery workers, all the way up through staff and executive staff level. Tom Rainer is speaking. Paul Tripp is speaking. Tripp Lee is speaking. Eric Geiger, Kerry Newhoff, and a variety of others. I will be co-hosting it with Todd Adkins. He's the guy I do the Five Leadership Questions podcast with, the other one that I co-host. So if you go to myleadershippipeline.com, you can find out more about that conference. For those of you who listen who are in church leadership, it's one that would be really beneficial to you. It's something we've set up to try to be practical as opposed to the kind of conferences that we often mock on this show, which are kind of just a preach-off. So this is designed to be a two-day practical training coaching thing for church leadership teams. So go to myleadershippipeline.com and check that out. I would really appreciate it if a bunch of you signed up. It would make me feel really good, and that's really what this is about, is me feeling good. So sponsorship over.
Baby, I love it. Now, is Pipeline, was that at all like a play on your name? You're kind of the headliner, as it were.
I wish. That would be really cool. No,
the whole thing. Yeah, Tripp Lee, whatever. But we got Barnabas Piper.
Yeah, I know. And we've got Paul Tripp's mustache, but Piper is way more interesting, even though he's not like that Piper. No, it's about building a leadership pipeline in your church. So thus the term pipeline.
I like it, baby. I like it. Now,
celebrity stuff. Let's get to the important business.
Right. Speaking of people building networks and pipelines and such things, you texted me not all that long ago, man. This was a breaking news item.
Yes.
So after we had our production meeting this morning, meaning after we sent the two texts that we send in the morning before we record, you sent me some breaking news, which is DC Talk is getting back together for a cruise.
You can't make this stuff up.
You can't make this stuff up. And now we've done some mock cruises on the show before.
We have.
I've been cruise director on a couple of these, man, and I've planned some itineraries and so forth. But sort of in a life imitating art kind of way, these guys, they probably listened to the app is what they did, man, because I'm on the website right now. It's called Jesus Free Cruise. So JesusFreeCruise.com. We're giving these guys free promos, man. We should get some a couple of berths on the boat for this. But
yeah, or just like press credentials. I think they should allow me on for free just to live tweet this, and you can live blog it. And yes. I feel like that would do them a lot of good, or at least it would be a lot of fun.
Dude, could we get Ronnie Martin and Joy Electric on the lineup? How hard would that be?
We'll get Big R on the. It's probably good Ronnie's not on this episode. I think you may have mentioned this via text because if he doesn't know DC Talk, he knows somebody who knows DC Talk. So he's not going to be as willing as we are to speak freely.
Ronnie would be very politic right now, and he would be very uncomfortable with our tone, you know? Because make no mistake about it, we're going to go nuts on this thing.
And why wouldn't we? It's the Jesus Freak Cruise.
We're going to go berserk on this thing for about 10 minutes. Now, I'm looking at the lineup here. DC Talk, I'm just going to read these out loud. DC Talk, Newsboys, Toby Mack.
I thought one of the singers from DC Talk was part of Newsboys now. Or is he an Audio Adrenaline?
Baby, that's what I'm getting at. Okay, so there's an act on here called Toby Mack and Diverse City. And then there's another act called Kevin Max, who I thought was in DC Talk or the Newsboys or both.
So they're basically just taking turns.
I feel like there's four people on this cruise, but there's like eight acts listed.
Right. And then there's ones I've never heard of. Now, maybe our listeners have heard of them, which probably says more about our listeners than anything else, which would be Finding Favor, Capital Kings, sounds like Capital Kings sounds like a minor league hockey team from like a 1980s comedy.
It does. Yeah. Like they play in like Scranton, Pennsylvania,
exactly.
Which is not the capital. So that's what makes the name funny.
Right. Well, they're the minor league team for the team that plays in the capital. Exactly.
In the capital. Yeah.
And then there's Ryan Stevenson, that's a white guy with a guitar. He sat out in the quad at his college and played Wonderwall and got all the girls.
Dude, I went to college with 20 Ryan Stevenses. Guarantee it.
Exactly. And then there's
somebody. Click on this while you're reading. I want to, dude, look at him. Have you seen the picture of Ryan Stevenson?
No, is he exactly as I picture him, though?
It's literally the guy you just described. He has a shirt on in the picture, but, you know, whatever. That's neither here nor there.
Ooh, Kevin Max looks rough. Like, maybe really? He looks like he's straight out of an episode of Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. Capital Kings. Those guys are special. Oh, yeah. Ryan Stevenson is exactly – he's a little more angsty than I pictured him. I pictured
a little bit of a frown, man. Got a little forearm tattoo situation there.
I pictured a little more smarmy and not quite so, like, angsty, but
– yeah, you pictured a little more earnest.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. But, yeah. And then there's somebody named Hollyn, H-O-L-L-Y-N, and she looks like she's 14.
Yeah, wow. No comment.
So, yeah, let's leave her alone because my daughter's only 4 years younger than her.
All right, dude. So I'm going to read some details about the event. This is straight copy from JesusFreeCruise.com. One of the most influential and groundbreaking acts in Christian music have reunited for a vacation experience like none other. DC Talk will be hosting the ultimate summer family vacation. The Jesus Free Cruise is the first time in 16 years you'll be able to see DC Talk perform. 16 years. Is that true?
I mean, well, 2000?
I feel like these guys have been doing stuff like kind of ever since, you know? Like
maybe not as DC Talk. Like I've maybe not as been in the industry, but like maybe like that was when DC Talk broke up. I work with about 15 people who are self-declared CCM experts. I could probably ask one of them, but that would be kind of like using Wikipedia, and we don't do that as we have been chastised for.
I think as I keep reading, this is going to suss itself out here. Toby, Michael, and Kevin will also be bringing their current bands, which will make the cruise even more spectacular. So there's the acknowledgement that these guys all have, like, other bands now. And it's just like a reunion thing for DC Talk.
Yeah.
Add in some of their other Christian music friends, and you have a summer vacation you will never forget. Incredible concerts each night. Outstanding speakers and fun in the sun.
See any speakers. Where are the speakers?
Dude, Baby, how do we get a speaking gig on this thing?
Well, we're only D+ or thereabouts, and so I'm not sure that we rate.
Maybe under onboard activities? Would that be?
Hmm.
Where the speakers are? FAQ, frequently asked questions.
This thing's just went up today. How many questions could they possibly be asked?
Yeah. All right. So concerts, you'll be able to enjoy the following amazing amenities on the MCS Divina. All right. That's just like games and stuff.
Yeah. That's typical cruisy stuff.
Typical cruisy stuff.
Do you suppose they have a bar on this as a Christian music cruise? Because I feel like DC Talk probably enjoys their beverages. But
yeah, how do you handle that if you're DC Talk?
Does this? You know? Yeah, how fundy is this thing?
Exactly, man. And that's in the FAQ. I'm gonna look.
Frequently asked questions: how fundy are you?
Questions. Here we go. Oh no, this is all like what time can I board the ship?
Oh yeah, this is all crew stuff. No, I want to know about the essence of this, not the logistics. Yeah,
not the ins and outs, you know. Wow.
This is incredible. And do you feel like maybe they've spent 16 years trying stuff with other bands and just realized they've never been as good as they were when they were DC Talk?
I think so, man. I think so. And you know what? You got to go back to what works.
But they have to bring their current significant others with them for fear of causing a breakup or something.
Yeah, exactly. So here's what's going to happen. You know, when you, me, and Big R get just wildly famous because of this thing, man, we're all going to go off and start our own podcasts. It's not going to work, you know? And then we're going to be reuniting in 16 years to do a Happy Rant cruise.
A reunion cruise.
A reunion cruise. Yes. Dude, all right. Scale of 1 to 10, man. What are the odds? What are the odds that we could get a cruise going like this for the Happy Rant? And I'm not even talking about a big cruise now. I'm thinking like because I'm a realist pipe.
Like a fishing trip?
Yeah.
that kind of cruise?
Like a couple summers ago, I rode the ferry from Lake Michigan across to Wisconsin. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I bet we could get like a party boat.
Okay.
Like a lake cruise party boat on like Lake Mille Lacs in Minnesota. So,
dude, you're a Viking fan. Of course you know about the party boat.
I was wondering how many listeners might pick up on
There's
that.
There's a reference no one will get.
Not that whatever. Kind of cruise. But a similar setup, you know. Maybe like a dinner cruise on Lake Michigan going out from Chicago, that kind of thing. I feel like the 4-day cruise with great concerts and speakers might be a bit beyond our current reach.
We could have Big R play. We could all three of us speak, and we could tape a couple apps, man. That would get us across Lake Michigan.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I don't see why not. And I mean, we have the agenda already lined up. We did that one like in episode, whatever it was, 14 or something.
Absolutely, man.
It's been a few months.
Dude, now all kidding aside, how do you feel about these, not so much musicians, but like Christian speakers? Like I know, I think John MacArthur has done a cruise. I think some of these guys do cruises.
Oh, there's Ligonier Ministries is doing a cruise and the theme is Christian. It's about suffering.
Oh, you're kidding me, dude.
So
that is a
cruise about suffering. I really hope that's a cruise on like a homemade raft of barrels and boards. And they have like one milk gallon jug of water to split between 19 people. Basically, like
trying goes to, from like Havana to Miami.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was picturing.
You got to swim the last mile and a half.
Yeah. And you get like a shiv of wood to try to fight sharks off, and that's your cruise about suffering.
Dude, are you kidding me? A cruise about freaking suffering.
But since it's Ligonier, they all have to wear coats and ties the whole time.
They will be suffering. They'll be hot.
Yeah, those wool suits. They also really pull you under when you jump in the water. They don't swim well.
Dude, that is unreal, man. I guess it kind of makes sense. I mean, all the. These guys are getting older, and it means all their supporters are getting older. Everybody's got bucks now, you know. So,
I mean, functionally, what's the difference between a cruise and a retreat?
Besides, and a really nice hotel.
Besides
a retreat
perception.
Thing. Right. You're floating. You're on the water, whatever. But, you know,
And my guess is cruise companies are not doing super well because the economic downturn and whatnot. So my guess is they probably get really good deals. And so they're like, well, shoot, we could go to a mediocre hotel in Orlando and host something, or we could just do a cruise and it's kind of more of an experience. I feel like the perception is a real big obstacle though. Like that's not a little thing.
Dude, you gotta be the right kind of guy. You got to be older. You got to have an older, rich kind of fan base.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be the right guy to pull this off. Like, even if Maddie Chandler, You know, even if somebody, he's got a huge fan base, they're probably mostly affluent people, but even if Matty Chandler tried to pull it off, like you get a bunch of 30 something like white guilt people being like, oh, he shouldn't do a cruise, you know?
Yeah. He could never pull it off. Yeah. I think,
I mean, he could do a retreat. He could do a week long conference at the Four Seasons, but yeah, you put him on the water, you put him on a boat, people are freaking out.
Yeah. It smacks of luxury, even though cruises really are just sort of packaged family vacations. I mean, I'm sure there are higher and lower end ones, but
sure.
But they just scream. Well, they scream luxury, and they scream like 50 plus people with pasty legs lying in lawn chairs, drinking overpriced drinks with all sorts of flowers and umbrellas sticking out of them.
I know it, man. I know it.
Big hats, sunburn.
I know. I want that. I want that for us.
Can you imagine what the karaoke will be like on the Jesus Freak cruise?
Oh, dude, it'll be unreal.
I think like 10:45 on a Thursday night on the Jesus Freak cruise, right after the amazing speaker is done and everybody has rededicated their life to Christ, there's going to be a bunch of like 44-year-old women just crushing drinks and belting out New Thing like it's their job.
Or Amy Grant tracks, man.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, if they want to go real old school.
Dude, why didn't they get Amy Grant for this thing? Is that too much to ask?
There's still time. I mean, maybe this is not the complete list. Of course, maybe they're just trying to highlight themselves and then bring along a couple friends who won't overshadow them. Maybe she would overshadow them.
Dude, she's a headliner, man. She opens for no one.
And really, they don't have any headliners besides themselves and then these sort of what they describe as these up and coming artists.
Dude, what's weird is that they're all in all these bands. So these guys are going to be working. They're going to work like a 10-hour day, you know?
Their bands won't because they'll only have like one set here and there. But they will. These guys are going to be busy.
Yeah, because like you finish your set with like the Newsboys and you're like, oh, I got to run over to the main stage and do my set with DC Talk, you know?
Yeah, that's I hope they don't get like vocal burnout or something. That'd be bad.
Seriously,
how much you want to bet they cancel this in like February of next year?
We got to keep our eye on this thing, man.
Yeah,
this has got to be a recurring. This is news that we're going to track here on the program. So if you want to go, it's July 11th through 15th of 2017. So there's time.
Yep, lots of time to get your calendar clear, to get your finances in order,
figure out your travel. Situations and
dust off the CDs and relearn those lyrics, you know, get ready for that karaoke party. It's gonna be fun.
Dude, this is exciting. You know what I probably should have given before I even started this segment is something called a trigger warning.
Ooh, yes.
One of our listeners, he wrote in and he wanted us to riff on trigger warnings, which full disclosure, man, I had to text you during our production meeting this morning and go, I don't even know what that is.
You didn't know the term, but as soon as I described it, you're like, oh, yeah, that thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I didn't know the term, but I knew very much the ethos. And the trigger warning, explain it, Pat.
So originally, the trigger warning was actually a useful thing because it was something that was used to try to protect people who had been in traumatic situations. So, hey, there may be some content in here that's going to trigger, a strong response. So whether they have PTSD or something like that, it is just sort of a cultural phenomenon now to protect the, how shall I put this? Maybe the thin skinned and weak minded among us, who don't understand any sort of humor or will find anything offensive. So you have to headline with a trigger warning to say, hey, there's some content coming down the line you might not like. But it's something that that like professors have to do. For example, if you were going to show a movie in one of your classes, you might have to provide a trigger warning because that would offend somebody. If you guys are going to go through a
dude,
book,
I do that. I totally do that.
Of course you do. You have to because college students often cry about stuff to their mommies and daddies. If you were going to read a book that had offensive content, and I'm not talking about like there's some stuff you actually want to warn about because it's rough,
right.
And then there's some stuff that you're like, oh, they said the S word.
Yeah.
Too bad. Deal with it. So that is the trigger warning in a nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah. No, dude, it's funny. Like, you know, this is a thing that I think I've been doing for a while and I should probably do more of it, to be honest. And as the years go by as a college professor, like you realize like the heightened level of all this, and you realize you could spend 20 minutes of each class just caveating everything into the ground. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. The caveats or caveats. Sorry, I'm a little lowbrow.
Dude, do you say caveat or caveat?
I don't know. That's one of those words. It's I always feel like I'm saying it wrong. What's that?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of them like that. Do you say stop me if we've talked about this in the program before. Do you say banal or banal?
I say banal.
Okay.
But I've heard banal, and I don't feel like I need to correct people who say it that way. I just say banal. I think the only reason people don't say who say banal instead of banal is because they don't like what it rhymes with.
Yeah, right, man.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, no.
Is it niche or niche?
Now, see, I said niche in class the other day, and I got destroyed by my students. They were just like, oh, Cluck, you're so pretentious.
Yeah, but they're all from Middle Tennessee. They barely speak English.
Right. I'm like, I'm a college professor. Can't I? Am I not allowed to be pretentious once in a while?
Yeah,
I
mean, you need to wear a little more tweed just to up your pretension cred.
I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing it for the ability to be pretentious, you know?
Amen.
Yeah. Seriously.
So you said you have sort of instinctively been offering trigger warnings for years?
Dude, instinctively and honestly, man, I try to, as much as I can, and we're a Christian university, so I mean I try to like really err on the side of like protecting the innocence of my students because I mean we're not dealing in like super rough, raw content in my classes, right. but yeah, every once in a while you read something, you know, I'll bring in a story, I'll read it, and you know, it will occur to me that there's some rough content in there that maybe some kids in our classes haven't been exposed to. So I always give them the option of like an alternate assignment or, you know, something. And yeah, movies, with showing movies, dude, I just always err on the side of, you know, I'd rather show something boring and like uncontroversial than something that'll like rile a bunch of people up because, yeah, you just don't want to deal with that, man.
And I feel like even if you were right in your decision to show it, the heat always comes back on you because you could give warnings, say, hey, we're going to show this next week, you know, so if you decide you don't want to be part of this, let me know, whatever, whatever, you know, you need to say. But at some point, somebody's going to mention to their parent, hey, he showed Requiem for a Dream in class, and the parent's going to go look it up on, I don't know, whatever site it is you look up content these days. I've lost track of these things. And then they're gonna come back and like it's going to come back around on you even though you did all of the right things. And so I feel like the trigger warning it used to be to protect the consumer. Yeah. Now it's to protect the person giving the warning. It's like saying, hey, fair warning, I'm legally protected by this trigger warning that you may be offended, but I did my thing to protect myself.
Dude, before long we're gonna have to like print those things and post them in our classrooms. You know what I mean?
Just get it etched
in stone.
Yes. I feel like if I, as a professor, you almost just have to give a blanket one at the beginning of the year and say, hey, I recognize you guys are coming from different places. Some of you have been exposed to lots of things. Some have been exposed to a few things. Different things offend different people. We're going to read content or view content. Some of it will be controversial. And I recognize that. But controversy is part of growing up. Like put your big boy pants on and let's learn some stuff.
That's it, man. That's pretty much what I do. Dude, you want to know the one thing that I've taken heat for pop culture wise?
Ooh, fun.
It's going to kill you, man, because it's so stupid. It's just the dumbest thing. So I had a kid come into my classroom, and we were just bantering before class. We were talking about the band Nickelback and they're because of how terrible they are, right?
Yes, they are the worst.
And we're kind of busting chops, laughing about Nickelback. And but the kid's like, you know, I really like that song Rockstar. And for some reason in my head, like I couldn't place it. Like I knew the song, but I knew I'd heard it probably 100 times, but I couldn't think of it. And so I'm like, oh, let's listen to Rockstar, you know? So we start listening to Rockstar. People are filing in, man. Everybody's singing along, you know, because it's a crappy song, but it's really singable.
It's a total earwig. Everybody knows it.
Yeah, it's an earwig. Everybody knows it. Everybody's singing along, man. So it's this really funny, rollicking moment where everybody's singing along to Rockstar, you know, the lyrics of which are, you know, typical, like, you know, stupid kind of excess and decadence type lyrics or whatever. But that's
sort of Nickelback in a nutshell.
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid excess and decadence.
I took some heat for that. So, you know, I learned my lesson. No more Nickelback in the class.
I got the same thing when I was when I was doing youth ministry a while back, and I was at church at like a 4 o'clock on a Wednesday, getting ready for the evening thing. It started at like 6:30, and I was playing Garth Brooks while I set up the chairs and got the soundboard set up and stuff. And like three students got there early, and and one of them told their parents. They didn't tattle on me. They just mentioned it in passing. And it, you know, I had one of those like pull me aside conversations. Like, is that really what you think you should be playing? I'm like, I didn't play it as a worship song. I wasn't like rocking to Friends in Low Places with 60 teenagers while we had a Holy Spirit moment. But yes, those. I'm sorry. I guess I should have trigger warning the hallway that they might hear some Garth Brooks when they walk down there.
Yeah, post something on the door.
I wasn't mature enough to know that those things were necessary at the time.
Oh, man. I know. Stuff like that is exhausting, dude. It is.
Thin-skinned people are exhausting.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's a weird thing because, yeah, I mean, in youth ministry or in, like, college teaching, you do – like, there's a huge part of me that wants to protect their innocence. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, we know how nasty the world is.
And, right.
You know, part of me, you know, their parents are shelling out huge bucks to send them here so that somebody does protect their innocence. So – you know, I don't take that lightly, but yeah, at the same time, it's like you could spend your whole life caveating and apologizing preemptively and all that stuff. So yeah, it's rough, man. Well, let's sign off with a discussion of Christian email sign-offs. You got a note from another listener. This guy, explain it. You explained it off the air. It was really interesting.
Yeah, he's sort of late coming to the Christian culture, I guess is a good way to put it. And he was asking about Christian email signoffs, which most of us will have run across. And so, like on the low end, you have like blessings, Barnabas Piper. On the high end, you have like. The full Pauline benediction, you know, and then you have people who have like the Bible verses that are sort of their standard signature at the bottom and things like that. Sure. So he said he was experiencing sort of low grade guilt about not being as Christian in his sign offs as some other people. And just trying to, he wanted us to just sort of suss this out a little bit, sort of how does the Christian email sign off work? Is there a hierarchy? Yeah. Is it an expression of holiness? Is it a one?
Oh, there's absolutely a hierarchy.
Okay, so let's talk through the hierarchy. So I said on the low end is like blessings. To me, that's about as Christian as I'll get in a sign-off.
Blessings is like one rung up from like best or best wishes.
It's like have a good one, except it like you pulled it from the Psalms.
It's really low key, man. Really, really low key. If I was ever going to use a Christian email sign-off, it would probably be blessings. In fact, Pipe, have you ever used one of these?
Blessings is about the most this is about the highest I'll go on this scale. I don't really know what's above that. Like I'm sure we can talk through it. I don't know what's next on the list, but yeah, I don't go for the whole benediction unless it's somebody I know and it's like they ask for prayer and so then signing off with like praying for you or something. But I feel like that's a note. That's not a sign off.
I think one rung up from blessings on the you know, the sign off strata here is in him.
Ooh, yes. In him.
You know, Barnabas Piper.
Is in him, like, is that sort of a statement of ontology? Like we exist in him being Christ. Or is it a blessing saying, you know, kind of like a go with God?
I think it's both, man. It's a both and.
Or is it saying that I wrote this from a place of being in him?
Yeah, but what if you didn't? I mean, what if it's about fantasy football? You know what I mean?
And that is always hilarious when people are like yucking it up and then in him, you know,
yeah,
Steve.
Right. Wait, like, what? Hey, I'll trade you, you know, Paxton Lynch for, you know, Ezekiel Elliott in him, you know.
Like, I know that God is sovereign over all things, but I don't think he cares about fantasy football that much.
Exactly. So I think above
in him, what do we have? God bless? Or is that kind of like blessings?
God bless and blessings, I think that's pretty equivalent. So I think God bless is down there with blessings, and then in him, and then what's above in him?
Oh, let's see here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go pull up this guy's message and see what he might have suggested. I mean, I feel like the top level is you do have like pulling, you know, Augustine quotes or something like
that.
Dude,
you know what was big in our sub dude, I can't talk today. What's big in our subculture for a while And I'm seeing people going away from it now. I don't see it as much as I did like 5 years ago. But the one of the five solas.
Ooh, yeah.
Did you see a lot of this? Did you see a lot of five solas?
Soli Deo Gloria. That one, but that one's common enough that people now shorten it to SDG.
Are you kidding me? No, they say SDG?
I'm not kidding. Yes. So the first time I saw SDG, I was like, I have to Google this, but I'm afraid what I'll find, because you just Google random letters and you're either going to find like a finance firm or who knows what. So, okay. SDG. So here are some other examples. Let's see. In Christ, we talked about that one. Yep. Serving Him.
Okay.
For the glory of God.
Okay.
So
again, though, what if the email content is banal or banal?
So again, I'll trade you Laquan Treadwell for next year's second round pick and for the glory of God.
Yeah, exactly. For my fantasy team's glory and also the glory of God.
Yes, because I intend to possibly win God through my fantasy team. Money.
You know.
Yeah,
I see fantasy football as a platform. You know.
So this person, you know, I said it's a man.
Yeah.
There's a man and a woman in the picture, and the name is Jamie. It could be the woman. I don't want to guess wrong on the gender. So she who sent this. Well, it's a Facebook message.
Oh,
it's
Facebook thing.
You know, okay. It's just their little thumbnail. Let's see. So they're wondering, are they less Christian if they don't use these? They said they prefer a simple thank you or something of the like.
Dude, yeah, I'm a best guy, man. Always best. Best.
Yeah, I usually just sign my name.
Best or thanks.
Thanks is good. Or I just sign off with, you know, if it's a work email, you know, looking forward to hearing back from you, let me know what you think, you know, just whatever that sort of like nudge this thing along is, because it's functional communication. I'm not writing a love letter.
Dude, let me say this though, man. I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second. There's a dude, I would call this guy a mentor of mine. He's older. He's in his 60s. Amazing guy, right? Like the least pretentious dude there is. Really genuine, really smart. But yeah, not at all that guy. Not at all like show off guy. Signs every email, you know, in the warm bonds of Christ. Which, if anybody else did it, I would be rolling my eyes. You know what I mean? But if it's this guy, like for some reason, it works for him. But if I did it, it would look weird. You know?
Yeah. No. I'm drawing a picture, an email from Ted with "in the warm bonds of Christ." That's kind of creepy.
You know what? To that though, not to get too all like, you know, soul searchy and existential here, but like, there's a part of me that wishes I was more of a "in the warm bonds of Christ" guy. Like that, it wouldn't shock you that I would send that email. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I feel like that might be the guilt this particular listener is asking about, because it's that's needing to like baptize normal communication.
A common thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when you say hi to somebody and you in passing and they turn it into like a "what are you thankful for today" conversation. You're like, I just said what's up. You know, and that person is sincere, so you're not questioning their sincerity. But there is a sense of like there's like a normal way to get things done that does not involve the need for, you know, theologizing or baptizing something or quoting scripture,
right?
and sort of wedging it in there, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think if it's natural, if you're having a conversation via email about, you know, about spiritual things or whatever.
Because somebody's going through a hard time and you're trying to help them through it and you sign off with, you know, blessings in Christ, like that means something, because they need blessings.
Yeah.
And Christ is the solution to their challenges. And so that means a thing. But if you sign off like a mundane thing, or it's a work email and you're like, "hey, can we bump that meeting on Wednesday from 2:00 to 3:00 in Him?"
Yeah.
Or whatever, that I feel like that almost cheapens it. It's like "God bless" becoming it's about as cheap as saying "oh my God," which doesn't really mean "oh my God" anymore. It's just an expression of surprise or whatever.
Sure.
There's a cheapening aspect.
I can see this guy being really confused by it though. Cause if you're new to the game, man, it would be hard to to like suss all that out. So did he give any indication as to like what he's doing email sign off wise at this point?
He just said preferred the he or she preferred the simple thank you and was trying to figure out what did they say here. He said, "I have a sound understanding and love for the gospel. I don't think I need to prove it by having a quote unquote Christian sign off. I may be totally off base in spouting heretical thought, but I think it would make an interesting rant to listen to us discuss this." And then he asks about like, is this one-upmanship between Reformed Christians or being more theological or proving your piety or things like that? All of which I think are very valid questions. Because
I agree.
Some of those you look at and you're like, that's kind of like wearing your Eagle Scout uniform around town.
It would be worse in certain contexts. Like if you were in seminary a bunch of other guys who are trying to like kind of one up each other in that way.
Somebody's going to go to the Latin. Somebody's going to pull out a Luther quote in German.
Oh, dude, yes. Going to the Latin, going to the Luther. Absolutely.
Yeah, somebody's going to pull in something pseudo philosophical because they're kind of outside and beyond the mere theologians.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm getting my hackles are going up just thinking about that. That's annoying.
Dude, have you ever had anybody go to the Latin on you?
I feel like if they did, I would just write back and write something like, you know, et cetera, Barnabas, because that's about all the Latin I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to think.
Didn't in Tombstone? Remember in Tombstone where Johnny Ringo comes into the bar where Doc Holliday's playing blackjack and they've both been drinking and they're quoting Latin at each other? Remember that?
I love the scene because that's the one where Ringo does the whole gun flipping.
Dude, he does the gun flipping thing,
and then Doc does it with the little tin shot glass,
with the little tin cup,
and he's just sloppy
it's
drunk.
Priceless. But I was trying to think of the Latin thing that Doc uses to sort of defuse Johnny Ringo in that scene.
Yeah, there are Latin phrases that I've heard that I think are, you know, I'm like, that's a really smart thing, and I wish I could remember that, but I never do, and I would never sign off an email with it. It's just sort of one of those like it's like a philosophical argument or oh this is the Latin name for that that fallacy or something.
But
I wouldn't know the first thing about putting that in an email. Like to me, communication should be as streamlined as possible. And the more wasted words, and in this case Latin would be wasted words, the more you're just taking up my time and you're filling up my space.
Do you think Big R's ever experimented with the Christian sign off?
Oh, I'm certain he's a pastor. He has to.
Yeah, but he's not that kind of guy, though. I wonder what he's going with.
I mean,
days.
Sure he's. He doesn't strike me as the type to go pretentious. Like, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah. Dude, I could see him dabbling, especially with his flock. You know, with the congregation.
I could see him doing one of the five solas.
I was
for
just
sure.
gonna say that. Yeah, I could see him dabbling in a five sola here or there.
Possibly pulling up a Greek term and finding that little Greek font. I could see that underneath his name. That's more like a signature as opposed to like the sign off.
Yeah. Interesting, man. Interesting.
But I feel like he would try to do it in a way that made people ask questions as opposed to a way that proved anything about himself.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I kind of wish he was on for this one because I bet he gets a whole bunch of emails.
I bet he does too.
That have the.
I wonder what the Sojourn kind of cultural sign off is. You know what I mean? I feel like each of these kind of church planting brands have probably their own sign off. Protocol, as it were.
Yeah, Sojourn. You know? Sojourn has a fair number of hipsters and as we've discussed previously. And so like the hipster church culture is decidedly different because they're not going to go seminarian in the same way.
Yeah.
They're going to
try
to find something a little bit more avant-garde.
Dude, I feel like hipsters aren't even emailing. You know what I mean?
If you email them, they just roll their eyes.
They're probably talking some other way. They're probably writing. They're writing with a quill. You know what I mean? They're writing with a quill on like
carrier pigeons.
Paper that they've pulped themselves, like in their basement, you know, they've got a little pulping operation and a quill and an inkwell and, you know, whatever looks good, like in calligraphy, that's like sincerely.
And then they snap a picture of it and text it.
Absolutely. They snap a picture of it.
Or Snapchat it. Yeah, exactly. Because then it's like this message will self-destruct as soon as you close it.
Indeed.
Genius.
But But then they take another picture for the Instagram account, yes, so that it's there forever.
And then they still have the actual physical artifact, and they store that in a large leather volume.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Hipsters are awesome.
Oh, they're the best, man. What we talk about, were it not for hipsters, you know? They give us so much to talk about. It's enjoyable.
I guess we just have to pick on like the chinos and polo crowd, but that's kind of like hitting a kid with glasses.
Dude, you know what's the least hipster thing in the world? Oh, the goodness. DC Talk cruise.
I was going to guess the John MacArthur cruise, but they're both.
Yeah, those are 1 and 1A in terms of the least hipster thing.
Well, it's the difference between the 40 to 50 year olds and the, you know, 55 to 75 year olds.
Exactly, man.
I feel like the Dr. David Jeremiah cruise, if it exists, would be the least hipster.
Dude, yeah, that's one level even less hipster than what we just mentioned.
We may have talked about this before, but is his first name actually Doctor?
His first name is Doctor.
Okay.
Because I've never heard
him referred to as anything except Dr. David Jeremiah.
No, me neither. His kids refer to him as Doctor. Dr. David. I'm your dad, but you can call me Dr. David Jeremiah.
That's right. Doc for short.
Yeah, it's Doc, like their version of dad. Really, on Christmas, you know, if we're getting really informal. But yeah, the Dr. David Jeremiah cruise. Now that would be a hoot.
That would be something.
It would.
On the plus side, his son does an awesome football podcast. So
he does, man. I'm a huge fan of his son.
Yeah, what is it? Move the Sticks? Is that the name?
Move the Sticks, man, with Bucky Brooks.
Yeah, they do great stuff. If for football nerds, that's a great podcast.
Dude, yeah, and I usually love the Simmons, you know, lineup of podcasts, but their football stuff is pretty lame, I think, compared to Move the Sticks.
Yeah, when they did the Grantland one and they had Bill Barnwell and Robert Mays together, it was good. But since then, it's just sort of become more like, I feel like they focus on the business of the NFL more than the football of the NFL.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, dude, speaking of business and the business of radio, we have wandered to and fro throughout this podcast. We appreciate the boys at Resonate Recordings.
Always.
Always appreciate the hard work that they do with these audio files and making us sound good. And we appreciate Big R, Ronnie Martin, who no doubt is somewhere doing something photographable right now. So if you're curious as to what Ron is up to.
We can't sign off before I say this. So we were discussing his sartorial stylings last week, somebody commented, I think it was on Twitter, and said those jeans that we were trying to describe that are tapered but and like fitted but not skinny. He said they're called the slim straight jean.
Oh geez.
I feel like that is a joke that's just waiting to get me fired is what that is.
Dude, seriously, it sounds like a cigarette type. You know what I mean?
Virginia Slim Straights.
Like Virginia Slim Straights. I only smoke Slim
unfiltered.
Straight.
A Slim Straight unfiltered.
Slim Straight unfiltered. Yeah, that's all I smoke.
But anyway, apparently those are the jeans that we said that Ronnie wore. So he's a slim, straight guy.
Dude, I love it. Well, he'll be back next week, Lord willing, to address all these important things that we've wondered aloud about him. So, yeah, man, this has been great. We've wandered to and fro. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.